Mark's Gospel chapter 14. I'm going to read a familiar passage. Mark 14, starting to read at verse 3 through to the end of verse 9. And being in Bethany, at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some there who were indignant among themselves, and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Yeah, what a lovely verse, that last verse as I read. You know, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. The fact that I mention it this morning is fulfillment of that very scripture. You know, this woman's act of worship, you know, so pleased God that we're even talking about it today. Now, last time I preached, which was a fortnight ago, you'll know that I spoke about being seed-minded and not need-minded. You know, a lot of our thought processes and our time is spent thinking about our needs and about how we're going to get ourselves out of problems and how we're going to pay this or how we're going to be able to respond to some other thing that's going on in our life. And, you know, we're very much need-orientated, and we said that we should be seed-orientated. And I know a lot of people, and I said this last time, that a lot of people automatically equate that with money, but that's not the essence of what I was preaching. I was saying that we should sow some faith seeds, do something deliberate in order to show God that we mean business. Now, I want to look this morning at this passage of Scripture, because it's that last verse, really, that I want us to consider, that this, what she did, will be a memorial to her. Because I want to show you this morning from the Scriptures that God never forgets the seeds that we sow. You know, last time we talked about sowing seeds of faith, I want to tell you that God never forgets that seed that you sow. You know, this woman, just to bring you into the picture here, she took some very costly perfume, which she kept in an alabaster flask. You know, the fact that the flask was alabaster shows you that there was some worth to this perfume. In the what the disciples said that this could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. It shows us the value of the perfume as well, because 300 denarii represented somewhere in the equivalent of a year's wages. If you remember a few weeks ago when Pastor Les was ministering, he said about the young men that went to the vineyard. You know, a day's wage was a denarius. That's what the vineyard owner agreed to pay the men that went to work, a full day's wage for one denarius. So 300 denarii was equivalent to about a year's wages. And, you know, we can speculate what that value is, but if you lost a year's wages, you'd be losing a significant sum. For some, that may be hundreds of thousands of pounds. For those, it might just be a few thousand pounds. But it certainly is a significant sum. 1 year's wages. So it's a very costly perfume. Now that was just the year's wage was just the resale value of it. There was, it was probably worth a little bit more than that. And it was kept in this alabaster flask. And this woman here, she's not identified in this scripture, but John's Gospel tells us it was Mary, the sister of Martha, that brought this oil. And she broke it at Jesus' feet. She broke the flask, anointed Jesus with the perfume. You know, whenever you do something for God, whether it's an act of worship, whether it's giving an offering, whether it's an act of service, whenever you do something for God, there's always going to be those that look upon you and say exactly the same things that these disciples said. Because in Mark, in chapter 14, verse 4, we read these words. So there were some there who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Let me tell you this morning, nothing you do or nothing you give for God is ever wasted. I believe it was that great writer on prayer, Ian Bounds, who said this. You know, time spent in prayer is never wasted time. Time spent in prayer is never wasted. It's invested. And we need to look upon the things we do for God, the seeds we sow, the offerings we give, the service that we put in, all the effort. We've got to look at that. We mustn't look at that as lost or wasted, but we've got to look at it as invested in the kingdom of God. You know, it's not lost money. It's not lost time. It's not lost effort. It's an investment. And when you make an investment, there's always a return. You know, I don't know whether how many of you are following through, started this week, The Apprentice on the telly. And it's a program I do like to watch. And, you know, Alan Sugar in the first program this week, he said about, he gave them some money. He says, this is an investment and he wants a return on it. And he reprimanded one of the teams, I can't remember, I think it was the girls' team, because they didn't use all of the money. They didn't invest all of the money. You know, they kept that up. And there's a parable, isn't there, in the scriptures about the man that did that. You know, he hid the talent. You know, anything we give to God, it's an investment. You know, we mustn't keep it for ourselves. And, you know, we mustn't think of it as lost or wasted. We've got to use it for God's kingdom. Nothing ever done for God is wasted. And they said, why has this oil been wasted? You know, for those that truly love God, they will know that this oil was never wasted. You know, this was an act of worship that Mary gave her Lord and Savior. You know, she broke this oil and she broke it at his feet and she anointed him. You know, that same crowd that said, why was this wasted? Then went on. And actually, John's Gospel tells us who the spokesperson was in this situation. It was Judas. And it says here in the scriptures that, you know, this oil could have been sold for that great sum of money, 300 denarii. And the money could have been given to the, it could have been used for something worthwhile. How many times do you hear that said? You do something for God or you give something to God. Well, we could have used this for something more worthwhile. You could have spent that time on something more productive. You could have given that money for something a little bit more worthwhile. You know, you hear it all the time. That same spirit is about today. You know, why must I put money in the offering when I've got my rent to pay, I've got my mortgage to pay, there's an electric bill at home that's been waiting for 2 weeks to be paid. You know, I can't really afford to put the money, but it's never wasted money. And they say, well, why? And you can look at us and say, why should we support a church in Ghana with thousands of miles away? You know, we've got our own needs, our own things. We could be building our own church, our own fellowship. Why support somewhere overseas? Why feed children in Guatemala and Albania? You know, whatever we do for God, it's not wasted. Whether we'll have our needs, we'll have things in our life, but when we give to God, when we do something for God, when that act of worship or that act of service, why should I bother going to the prayer meeting or that special outreach service? Why should I go out lifting on a Saturday morning? I'm too busy, I've got more important things to be doing. Friend, there's nothing more important than serving Jesus. Yeah, you might think it's important. That's being need-minded, not seed-minded. That's going back to the message a couple of weeks ago. You know, why was this perfume not sold and the money given to the poor? It says, and they criticized her sharply. John's Gospel clearly tells us the spirit behind that criticism. In John 12, we read that's the same account. In John 12, verse 5, verse 4 identifies it as Judas. It says, one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, the one who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Then here's the spirit behind that criticism. This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. There was no thought for the poor. He thought if the money was sold and it went into the purse strings so that the poor could be blessed, he'd have access to it. You know, he was just looking at his own greed, his own gain. You know, and that a lot of people that say, well, why this waste? You know, why? I've got more important things to do. You know, I could be doing something much more productive. It's got nothing to do. They're not trying to be, they're not being humble or being sort of trying to be super spiritual. You know, it's a spirit that's trying to take from God. You know, and then we could say, if we was daring enough, that's the spirit of a thief that would take from God and use on their own things. In actual fact, God levied that accusation at his people when he was talking, when they'd withheld the tithes from the house of God. In Malachi 3 it says that if we withhold it, God considers it as robbery. You know, we've kept it from God. But what this woman did in Mark 14, and I've touched on it in verse 9, it says, wherever this gospel is preached, throughout the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. It is a memorial to her. Now, I said at the beginning, I want to look at this morning, that God does not forget the seed that's been sown. You know, what this woman did was a memorial to her. A memorial is something so that you don't forget. You know, they set up memorials, war memorials. And very often on those stones, those memorials, it will say the words, lest we forget. It's so that we remember something. Remember the lives of soldiers that were killed in battle. We remember something. A memorial might not just be that, it might be to remember something else, a great occasion. You know, these statues and things that are erected in towns and cities right across the nation. They're there for a memorial, to remember great men. We've got one in the centre of town here, Thomas Clarkson Memorial. It's to remember the work that man did in the abolition of slavery. That we don't forget, that we remember, that we give honour, and we give thanks to God for what he's been doing in our lives. This is a memorial. This is a memorial to this woman, what she did, that she broke this alabaster flask of very costly oil, and she poured it onto Jesus. This is a memorial. What she has done will be told as a memorial. That we remember that act of worship. That we remember that she freely gave out of her poverty. She gave a very costly thing to God. You know, when we're so pressed with needs, and I said last time that we need to sow seeds, deliberate seeds. You know, when we do that, God remembers what we've done. It comes up as a memorial before him. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10 just to give you an illustration of what I'm saying here. In Acts chapter 10 we read of a man called Cornelius. Verse 1 it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment. Now let's listen to these words. It says, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Now about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? Now listen to the words that the angel spoke to Cornelius. He said, your prayers and your alms have come up before a memorial, before God. You know what Cornelius did, the seeds he sowed, the prayer time he'd sowed, you know, the charitable giving that he'd done, you know, the service that he'd performed in for God, even though he wasn't a Christian. You know, we say he wasn't born again, but he was a religious man, he was a godly man, he feared God and he served God. His whole house served God. You know, and that seed that they sowed came up before God and it was a memorial to him. I said a memorial is a place of remembrance, and God remembers the seeds that we sow. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I planted some beans in the garden. And I know exactly how many seeds or how many beans I planted. Not because I'm a great mathematician or anything like that. But I know I planted 18 pots and there was 3 seeds in each pot. So I've planted 54 seeds. You know, and they didn't come up the very next day. I can't know exactly what day I planted them, but I planted them, and you know, I took them in and out of the garden, brought them into the house so that in the evening time so that they had the opportunity to grow, and I brought them in for quite a few nights and they still looked the same as they did the day I planted the seeds. You know, they didn't come up the next day, they didn't come up not even after a few days, it wasn't even the next week. But I've been away this week, as was said earlier on, and I came back got back Thursday night, and on Friday morning, every single pot has got some sprouts in it. Now, I went out there this morning, I think I'm silly, but I went out there this morning and I counted all the shoots that came up, and I'm 6 short of 54. And I guess they will come over the course of the week. But I remembered every seed that I sowed. I knew them by, I knew there was 54 of them. I know we've only got 48 at the moment that have come up through the soil. I have remembered the seeds, and that's a natural man. A farmer, when he sows seeds in the field, he doesn't forget that he's gone out and planted the seeds. But he'll go out and he'll water them. He'll look after them. He'll see that they're nurtured. He'll see that they're fed. And he'll watch for them, he'll watch for the sprouts coming through, the shoots. And then once they've got these, he still won't forget them. He'll see that they come up to produce the crop that he's sown. You know, God never forgets a seed that we sow. Whatever we do for him, God remembers it. You know, this is found in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I just want to close this morning with these few thoughts. If you want to turn with me to Psalm 20. Psalm 20, we're going to read just the first 5 verses of this psalm. And here in the Psalms, David, you know, in this song that he wrote, he starts off, he says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. Are you in a day of trouble? Well, here's a prayer from David. He says, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. He says, and then may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary. You know, God will send help from the sanctuary. From his sanctuary. You know, we studied that just a couple of weeks ago in our Bible study. You know, the sanctuary is a better sanctuary that Jesus is ministering from today. It wasn't the sanctuary of the tabernacle in the wilderness. It wasn't the sanctuary of the temple in Jerusalem. You know, God is ministering today from the sanctuary of heaven itself. You know, where Jesus has passed through the heavens with his own blood. A better sanctuary for a better covenant. He will send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Then listen to verse 3. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Everything you give to God, he remembers. May he remember all of your offerings. May he remember everything you give him. May he remember all your service. May he remember all your prayers. Then it goes on. It says, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. You know, God never forgets. That's a beautiful verse there. May he remember all your offerings. Verse 3. And accept your burnt sacrifice. Now that was talking about a physical offering the people had brought. But as I said last time, and I'll stress it again, I'm not necessarily just talking about money. I must confess, you know, I preached this message several years ago, and that was the theme of it then, about giving our offerings, bringing our tithes into the house of God. But it's about everything we give to God, our time, our effort, the service that we do for him, the prayers that we pray, the worship, the praise. Yes, to bring in an offering. But may God remember all our offerings and grant us according to our heart's desire and fulfill all our purpose. You know, in the New Testament, these are the words of Jesus himself. And they occur almost seven times in the first couple of chapters of Revelation. I'm just going to pick out two because they stress what I want to say. But in Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, we read Jesus' words to the church in Ephesus. If you remember, the second and third chapters of Revelation are these letters addressed to the seven churches in Asia. And in chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Jesus says to this church, he says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. I know, just continue the thing, you have persevered and have patience, and have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary. God says he knows what you're doing. He knows your labor of love. He knows your giving. He knows your works. He knows your perseverance. He knows your stand of faith. He knows what you're doing. He knows the seeds that you've sown. You know, he goes on, but almost to every church he says the same thing. He says, I know your works. I know your works. But then to the church in Thyatira, verse 19, he says this. He says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. You know, when Jesus turns around and says to us, I know. So when you're in a need, you're in a situation that you need deliverance from. You know, when you might have sown seeds, you might have done things for God and think, well, I've been doing all I know that's right to do. I've been believing, I've been sowing these faith seeds. You know, I've been giving worship and praise. I've been doing everything that I know that's right to do, and still it doesn't seem to be working. God says, I know. I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. I know your faith. I know your service. I know that you've done this, and I never forget a seed that's been sown. You know, God, now it might take a little while. You know, as I said, seeds don't come up the next day. And that's the problem with us. We pray a prayer. We want it done right now. We want it done the next day. You know, we want the need met yesterday. But God says, I know. they will produce. They will come to fruition. Now maybe you've been standing a long time for some things. Well, I believe this is a word from the Lord for you today. God says, I know. And I never forget a seed has been sown. Amen.